you're listening to, if you hear that music, you know you're listening to an edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host, and we're glad to have you with us. We're talking today with a special guest, and there's a list here that, I'll just say it. After college, he lived in, I love this list, he lived in places like Kenya, France, and Los Angeles. It's about as foreign as you can get. And working professionally as a creative director and video producer. But off to the side of that, he had an interest in healing. And we'll just put it this way, that when his whole world crashed, that interest totally got his attention. So everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Chet Manchester. Chet, this is everybody.
Thank you.
Ah, there we go. Glad you're here. Sorry, we've got six other conversations going on the board. Now I've got your volume. So I've got some notes in your history, Chet, that said that, and I hate to just drag your life right out, but it said that you ran into kind of everything collapsing all at once around you in your life, and at the same time, you ran into an issue with your physical heart as well. What did this do in terms of changing your path?
Well, you know, I'm sure like many listeners can relate to when things get tough in your life, you reach out, you know, mentally and spiritually. You're on your mental knees, sometimes your physical knees too. And that's where I found myself. That was when I was living in LA and been working on a film project and had poured heart and soul and a lot of money into this project over a couple of years. And when it looked like it was just about to take off and then crashed and burned before my eyes, I did have to just reevaluate kind of the direction I was headed, and more than anything, these ambitions that were driving me in my life. And I was, you know, I was experiencing a heart problem. And, you know, from years of practicing Christian Science, which really, you know, teaches us to look at, you know, more of the kind of the whole perspective of health, not just to look at the body as some sort of machine that's acting off on its own, but to see the relationship between thought and body. I knew that I had to, you know, get a bigger perspective on the whole issue of heart, you know, what the heart was and why it beats, and, you know, the power behind the heart. And I found myself really asking, what is your heart beating for, Chet? You know, what is it, what's behind it? What's the power behind it? And I came across a little statement from Mary Baker Eddy's work. She's the founder of Christian Science. And she says that the heart that beats mostly for self is seldom alight with love. And it really stopped me in my tracks. I remember opening to that one morning, and it was like it was waiting for me to find it, you know. And it really got me asking the question, what is your heart beating for? What's your leading purpose in life? And I realized that up to that point, my heart had been beating primarily for myself, you know, my own goals and ambitions and drives and passions. And I really had to step back from that and ask in a real humble way, you know, of my creator, of God, what have you designed me for? What would you like to do with my gifts and talents? You know, you gave them to me. They aren't, you know, my own. And that began to set my life on a much more unselfed trajectory, more about helping others, healing, seeing life in a much broader perspective of giving, of loving, of serving. And I will say, I mean, I had a profound, I think of it as a heart transplant, you know, spiritually speaking. It was a change in my whole outlook. The affections, the feelings, the desires in my life really shifted to a much more unselfed perspective, not unlike, I think, the one that, you know, Jesus had 2,000 years ago when he taught us to love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, was really shifting people's thought from self to, you know, this unselfed approach to life. And I did experience a profound transforming healing, not only of my body, but clearly my thought, my consciousness. And that led me onto the path I'm on now, Scott, which is really helping others find healing through prayer and through the teachings of Christian Science.
Now, you've mentioned a piece here, Chuck, and I'd like to go check in with it. Did you grow up in Christian Science Church and Christian Science Studies?
Well, you know, I had the great privilege of growing up in a home where my dad's best friend was a doctor and my mom's good friend was a Christian Science practitioner. My dad Yes. was not religious, and when problems would come up, you know, we'd go see Dr. Weston and, you know, have things checked out. And my mom was beginning to study Christian Science because she was spiritually hungry and was interested in finding an approach to healing that wasn't just managing symptoms. And we had some childhood issues growing up that just seemed to kind of, you know, recur. One was strep throat, and, you know, you'd go and you'd get penicillin. I remember doing this from Dr. Weston, and it would be some weeks and suffering and, you know, long time of recovery. And her study of Christian Science began to, you know, really show there was another approach to healing these kinds of things. And I recall having a healing with having called a Christian Science practitioner and being healed overnight of a very serious case of strep throat. And it was, you know, it didn't lessen my love for Dr. Weston and his approach, his very, you know, deep and compassionate approach to healing. But I saw that there was another dimension to healing. And sometimes people have the misconception that, you know, Christian Scientists reject doctors or reject Yes. modern medicine. And, you know, it wasn't the case with my growing up. And, people I know oftentimes are turning to Christian Science because they're wanting an approach to healing that goes deeper, that doesn't just manage symptoms, but looks at, you know, the deeper aspect of health and healing that really comes about when you look at the mental factors that are involved and not just the physical factors.
That is one, and I want to loop back, and we've got a lot we want to talk about here because you're on one of my favorite topics, healing. But I want to loop back just to give people a level of comfort, because I've noticed that sometimes even among my friends, when I'll end up talking about this particular program that I host and the amazing people I get to talk to, they almost don't hear anything after I say Christian Science, because then they'll quote me something about won't let their kids go to the mm-hmm. doctor and everybody dies. So what's right. the real truth about Christian Science and any individual's choice, even if they belong to a Christian Science church, what's the truth about Christian Science and any individual's choice, even church members, in terms of how they go after their healing?
Well, Christian Science really emphasizes that it's every individual's right and responsibility to think for themselves, to make decisions for themselves, and that includes every aspect of healthcare. So there's no church doctrine or church dogma that prevents a Christian Scientist from seeking out medical care. What people don't know is that many people have come into the practice of Christian Science from various medical practices and you know, therapies or treatments that aren't yielding, you know, real healing results. It's part of what inspired me to write this lecture I'm giving in your area soon, Infinite Possibilities for Healing. I saw so many people just coping with disease instead of really believing that there could be permanent cure, you know, that whatever the diagnosis is, that, you know, all healing is possible. Healing of all kinds of things is possible. So, you know, I think that that misconception of Christian Science does freak people out.
And there's
they hear,
more,
oh, yeah, you know, the people that yep. don't go to doctors or don't believe in doctors shut down,
yep.
and we don't need to hear anymore. But there is a much bigger story. I mean, Christian Science has been practiced now for over a century. There are tens of thousands of decisive healings on record, many of conditions that, you know, weren't being effectively treated under conventional medical care or alternative medical care. And so people have, you know, come into the practice of Christian Science seeking out a deeper dimension of healing and finding it in this practice.
Mm-hmm. Let me touch one other piece, because there's another word in here that sometimes when I'm chatting with people, I recognize that there's a lot of scars out there, and I don't want it to get in the way. I'm going to say it this way, and then I'll ask you to give some feedback. When I get a sense of Christian Science, I get a sense of a really solid metaphysical study that's organized appropriately because it's a spiritual practice under the word, and sorry, everybody that's got a scar on this word, under the word church. Now, I grew up in a relatively benign Presbyterian Christian faith. Relatively benign Presbyterian churches. Nobody was preaching damnation or fiery pits. But at the same time, the church was structured pretty simply. There was one person up front. That person was in charge of how the Bible should be understood. People were allowed to discuss what that person said, but that was the professional God person, and what they said about God was the deal. And it was kind of that solid. Now, I had a minister that I adored through most of my growing up years, and so, you know, I liked what he had to say, and he would as frequently preach out of the Peanuts cartoon strip as from the Bible, but going to the same direction, but it was still one person. And I've since been in a number of churches where it was one person at the front, and their view was the right view, and any other view was not looked well upon. And as a guest, you either got in line or got the heck out. Now, how would you contrast that with any of the Christian Science churches you've been in and around? Because we're trying to just defuse that word church.
Yeah. I appreciate what Mary Baker Eddy did in setting up a movement of really its sort of lay people are in charge of the church. It's a grassroots movement. We don't have any formal pastors or preachers. We think and pray together around a Bible lesson each week, and then we come together and read that Bible lesson together at a church service on Sunday that includes hymns and the Lord's Prayer and, you know, lots of recognizable things from other Christian churches. But at one point, she really felt like the sort of opinions of individuals could dominate a church experience. And so she really encouraged the deep and individual study of the scriptures as being the basis of the church service, that, you know, people would be digging into the scriptures during the week and then reading it. And we do read the Bible on Sunday, read this Bible lesson from the scriptures, and then from a book that she dedicated 38 years to writing and revising. The book is called Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. Her book isn't meant as a replacement, but rather as a book that helps to open up the healing message of the Bible. That's why she called it a key. And it is a book that's just a wellspring of inspiration and experience from her own practice of healing that just sheds light on this biblical promise of healing and helps people understand that healing, as Jesus taught it and practiced it, was not miraculous, but it was based on a principle that is timeless and universal. Anybody can understand it and practice it today. And that's why she called it the science of Christianity, to help people see that there was a principle underlying that practice of spiritual healing.
And I have to say, I did not grow up in Christian Science. I am not a Christian Science member per se, but I get this fabulous privilege with Spiritual Perspectives of meeting some amazing people. And everything I've ever attended that was a Christian Science function, what I encountered was a lot of people with very bright eyes and very willing to talk about what they think and hear what anybody else thinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a real respect within the Christian Science tradition of, you know, everybody's background and approach, and you know, we are striving to practice that, you know, that universal love that was at the heart of Jesus' healing practice, and there's no pressure. I mean, within Christian Science, there's no desire to convert or persuade. We're really just practicing this science of Christian healing in our own lives, and are more than happy to share what we're learning with others, but there's no pressure. And you do find Christian Scientists coming from just a real diverse, many diverse points of view, backgrounds, people in the sciences and in the arts and in business and in politics. I mean, they're ordinary people, but they've really found an approach to the study of contemporary spirituality and religion that is deep and very practical.
Cool. Now, I know in your history, and this is a thing that you would share with many of us human beings, you had a back injury that resulted in a pinched nerve, and having experienced that after getting an inexpert chiropractic adjustment by a large SUV hitting my car, you remembered that your dad also had, so there was some congenital factors to backs not serving well. And I know that a lot of people that I know that I'm around, once your back is whacked, it's whacked in the Western medical system. And that's kind of one of the places where I'll see some of the people that I know that are more mainstream will do crazy stuff like acupuncture, just because Western medicine isn't seeming to find anything for them. So this was also a place where it really caught your attention about how you were practicing life, was when your back tweaked.
Yeah. And I look back at this particular experience and see it as kind of a springboard into the deeper study of Christian Science. I mentioned, my dad's best friend being a doctor and really being used to just sort of taking what the doctor said and going with it, I mean, he knows best. He's got the credentials and the experience and so forth. And when I had a sledding accident, actually in Wisconsin as a teenager, I remember being in the doctor's office and looking at the injury to my back and vertebrae and then him saying, because he knew my dad so well, your back actually is exactly like your dad's back. And he showed me this sort of curve in one part of it. And he said, you're going to suffer from back problems all your life, as my dad had.
Just plan on it.
And what's that?
Just plan on it.
Yeah, just plan on it, exactly. And so began regular visits to the chiropractor over the course of a couple of years. I mean, I would go in, and this guy worked on the University of Wisconsin Badger football team. He was a well-known, well-respected guy. And I would go in. I was an active athlete, a basketball player, and a pole vaulter. And so when this injury, when the pinched nerve, happened on the court, it paralyzed me with pain. I mean, I had to stop whatever I was doing athletically. And these visits to the chiropractor would relieve the problem for a time. Mm-hmm. And I would experience some freedom and normalcy. And then at some point, unexpected, boom, we'd be back again with the pain. Mm-hmm. I'd actually had this beautiful healing experience with strep throat, but it hadn't impelled me into the study of Christian Science by any means. I mean, my mom was really the one that had this, this spiritual hunger, not so much me as a teenager at that time.
That worked. I'm better. Thanks. See ya.
Yeah, exactly. Just get on with your life. but I remember, reaching out finally and just, again, contacting a Christian Science practitioner. And for listeners who don't have any background in practitioners, they're just members of the church who devote themselves full time to helping others find healing through prayer. That's what they do. It's their full-time work. And they work with anybody on any subject. It doesn't have to be a health issue. It can be financial or relationship or anything you're praying about in your life. But I called this practitioner and began to describe the problem. And looking back on it now, I realize one of the distinguishing things about the treatment was that she was helping to move my thought away from my body, which sounds kind of crazy because most systems of healing focus on the body and what it's doing and the looking for the cause in the body and so forth. But she was really helping to, do what Jesus was encouraging students to do thousands of years ago when he said, take no thought for the body. That's not the factor. Take thought, look, examine your thinking. Look more closely at the mental factors and bring your life into conformity, into alignment with God, with good, with divine love, with this nature of a good and benevolent God. Bring your thought into alignment. And I can remember her particularly helping me understand the concept of structure being spiritual, that the nature of the divine is to uphold us in our integrity, in our wholeness, and that my structure was intact, just as God had made it, and I could see that and affirm that and understand that. And it was really moving away from this view that my structure was just purely, you know, bones and vertebrae and muscles and nerves. And but it was actually, there was spiritual substance to that structure, eternal, immortal substance. And just catching a glimpse of that, it's not like I had some, you know, super deep understanding of it. I was still a kid. I was later years in high school.
Yeah.
But I do remember just feeling over the course of a couple of weeks working with this practitioner, just a change in my outlook, just a more uplifted sense, more sense of, less physical sense of back and structure, a more spiritual view of it. And the healing took place just as naturally as I'm talking with you here, Scott. I mean, it really did. There was a shift in my thought, and there was a shift in the body. Christian Science healing really sees that, the healing effect, comes about through a transformation of thought. And we can talk, more about how that transformation takes place. But it really was a mental and spiritual healing that led to an absolute transformation of my back. And never from that point forward did I suffer with any, pinched nerve, any pain from that nerve, or any weakness in my back. I mean, I have lived a robust, active, athletic life, now for decades, and have never suffered from back problems. So, when you have that sort of an experience, it just, it gets you thinking more deeply about life and health. And that did set me on a course to, really make this study of Christian Science my own and try and understand it better myself.
You've just bumped open a whole string of questions for me that I hope other people are going to find interesting with any luck at all. The first one being, if average person on the street that did or didn't know anything about the Bible bumped into the idea and called up a practitioner, are they allowed to work with the practitioner? Is the practitioner allowed to work with them, and would it work?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Christian Science practitioners get calls from lots of different folks every day. And I have a lot of compassion when I get a call from somebody who's maybe come from a background where the notion of God is not a very happy one, like a figure that's judging you or keeping track of your mistakes or, looking over your shoulder and just kind of looking down on you. So the first thing that a practitioner is going to do is help you understand that the nature of God is love. And it's, right there at the heart of Jesus' teachings, but maybe not, we don't spend enough time really probing the depth of what he teaches. For example, in the story of the prodigal son, where this guy goes off and messes up, this son of a wealthy man goes off and messes up, and then when things are really looking bad and bleak and he doesn't have any food and he's lost all his money on riotous living, as one Bible translation puts it, wild living, he comes back expecting to be chewed out by his dad and says, I'll even be a servant in your household. I just want to eat. I just want to, have food and clothing. And he's welcomed back with a feast, with love, with joy. And the father in the parable says, this is my beloved son. He was lost and he's found. And, he just is a total embrace. In fact, the Bible story says he goes out to meet him halfway, which I love that metaphor, that whenever we make a decision to, turn away from something that's harmful or, self-centered in our lives, that there is the nature of God as love running out to meet us. I mean, to welcome us home to this consciousness of love, that we are loved and our nature is to reflect that love. So, you don't have to have any, there's no prerequisite for calling a Christian Science practitioner, I suppose, except for an open thought, to begin to see yourself and the divine nature in a new way.
It's a very fun thought to think of seeing oneself in a new way. I know we've chatted before, and I love it every time I get a chance to talk to you. But my background started where I was trained, raised, bred, and born to be an engineer, and I sort of wandered off into my spiritual studies instead. But I know that you were doing creative work, the kind of thing that as an engineer kid I would have thought, well, oh my gosh, if you get to be a filmmaker, that's got to be wonderful. So you were doing filmmaking and other kinds of, like, well, making magic. And yet, over the course of years, you've now committed fully to a public practice of Christian Science healing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I mean, you can't ever leave your love for creativity. That, you know, from the time I was young, I had a paintbrush or a pencil in my hand, and I was creating, and I, you know, just flowed through me, and that then led into work in film and video production and, you know, painting with images and sound, and but it was all about telling a story, you know, a good story, and it was also about this beautiful sense of creativity. I mean, I think we all know what it feels like to express that creative nature. You know, it feels good. I mean, you're doing it right now, Scott, when you're, you know, you're listening for inspiration for an interview, and you're putting together programs that are interesting and deep and thought-provoking. You know, it feels good to be creative, and I've really come to see that that's the nature of God. You know, God is creative. You know, let there be light. You know, first words in the Bible, that the nature of God is creative, to create, to really bring into being beautiful forms, life, and joy, and so what I've found is that my creativity hasn't lessened through the practice of spiritual healing, but every time I get a call, I'm helping an individual, you know, look at their life and their health from a different perspective, from a higher perspective, from a, you know, in a way, it's a more creative perspective. Why just allow yourself to be, you know, driven by some diagnosis or limited by a diagnosis when there's another way to think about it? There's another way to pray about it. And so I feel every day it is an adventure in the creative divine mind, you know, giving me ideas that are helping to uplift other people's thoughts and bring healing to their lives.
Beautiful. Thank you. And thank you for the compliment. Mm-hmm. Chet, how big a step was it when your back was whacked? It's hard to think when one is distracted by pain. It's certainly hard to meditate, I've found, that when I'm distracted with my body being whacked. Mm-hmm. How big a step was it for you to go from Dr. Weston's fabulous psychic prediction of your future to maybe I don't have to just cope with this thing, maybe there's a different answer?
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly was... you know, it was progressive. You know, when you've been given a diagnosis and you're used to looking at your health, you know, from a purely physical perspective, you know, that doesn't shift all at once. But, you know, I will say that, you know, the pain, the suffering and all that, I mean, it does oftentimes drive you to seek out, you know, something else. So many people that I work with in the practice, you know, they've been down this path of, you know, some pretty long treatments that aren't yielding up, you know, results. And so there's an openness of thought. Maybe there is another approach. And so, you know, it occurred over some time. Once I caught a glimpse, though, I can remember, you know, catching this glimpse at some point of the fact that, you know, healing as Jesus practiced it was actually natural and logical, and it was based on understandable laws, you know, that he'd said to his students, you know, you'll know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free, that he was a metaphysical healer. He addressed people's thought constantly. You know, he wasn't focused on the body. He was focused on helping people understand what he called the kingdom of heaven, or in modern language, we might think of that as really the loving government of God. That, you know, that this loving government governs every cell and fiber of your being. That that's the nature of a good and loving God, to be in control. And disease is really, at its root, ignorance of this loving principle. And we've been somehow misled to believe something else about ourselves. I think it's, you know, catching a glimpse that actually this great healer and teacher was scientific. That intrigued me as a teenager, as a high school student. I remember thinking, you know, that's true. Mm-hmm. If what Jesus, you know, did as a healer was actually, there was a science behind it, you know, I want to know it. I want to know more about it. And that got me into Mary Baker Eddy's writings. And she's a fascinating figure to explore. She really is.
You just handed me a perfect segue. Bless your heart. Love these film people. Yeah. I want to mention that I'm talking with Chet Manchester, and I know you're going to want to know more about that. First off, I want to thank the First Church of Christ Science in Mill Valley. They have sponsored the program today and sponsored Chet to be with us. They invite anyone and everyone who'd like to drop by any Christian Science reading room to just wander around and look at cool metaphysical books. You're welcome to do so. Nobody will pester you. They'll just, like, sincerely wish to help you if you'd like helped. They also have services on Sundays at 10 and Wednesday evenings at 7:30 are a remarkable experience. So let's break away and identify the station. We'll give you some information about where you could explore more of what Chet's doing, and then we'll be back to talk further.
For many, coping with disease instead of curing it is the norm. Infinite Possibilities for Healing is the title of a free talk given by Chet Manchester, a practitioner of Christian Science healing. Today, Chet is pain-free and credits Christian Science for healing him of chronic back pain, giving him consistent good health and a deeper understanding of God. Chet will present this free community talk at Tiburon Town Hall, 1505 Tiburon Boulevard in Tiburon, on Tuesday, May 30th at 7:30 p.m. Visit ChristianScienceBelvedere.com or call 415-927-4600.
Hey, if you're hearing that music, you know you're listening to an edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'm your host, and today we have the privilege of talking with Chet Manchester. As we just mentioned, Chet will be here in town, and you can go directly hear more of what he's talking about on the Infinite Possibilities of Healings Tuesday, May 30th, or if you're hearing the replay of this show on Wednesday, the 31st, bummer. Actually, there's a lot you can find out about Chet up online, including he has several of his presentations that you can find that have video recordings and audio recordings, and you can read what he's done. So, Chet, you were talking about exploring to learn further. You found that there was a science here, and that's one of the key words, because I've studied this through spiritual perspectives and looked at it, I find it fascinating that frequently I see the word science used inaccurately in today's modern mm-hmm. culture. Mm-hmm. And yet, in this case, it strikes me that it's used accurately, because one of the definitions I learned about science as a young engineer growing up science-y was that a key element was predictable and reproducible results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when people generally think of the biblical record of healing, and especially the amazing record of healing that's in the New Testament and especially in the Gospels, you know, people are either likely to dismiss it as just embellishments or fictional, you know, just meant to uplift people's, you know, sad lives, or, you know, oftentimes even within the religious community, people will say, well, that healing that Jesus practiced was miraculous. I mean, he had special powers as the Son of God. Well, Mary Baker Eddy, who founded Christian Science, didn't agree with either perspective. She felt that that this healing practice was legitimate. It did happen. It did occur. But it was not miraculous. She defines the word miracle in her primary text, Science and Health, as that which is divinely natural, but must be learned humanly. And I love that definition.
Say
it's about
that again,
learning.
Say that. Yeah? Just say that again, would you, Chet?
Yes. Yeah, a miracle, she defines it in the glossary of her book, is that which is divinely natural, but must be learned humanly.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So what we call a miracle in the Bible is actually in perfect accord with a good and loving God. So when Jesus is bringing about healing, and, you know, even things like a deformed hand, or somebody born blind, or a man who'd been 38 years on his back, you know, waiting for healing, that this wasn't miraculous, but this was the divinely natural effect of Jesus' right understanding of God and of the individuals he was treating, that he was seeing them through the lens of a higher understanding. He was seeing them instead of deformed or broken or sick, he was seeing them as whole, as spiritual, as perfect, as created of God's own good and flawless nature. That was the basis of his practice. So Mary Baker-Eddy felt that, you know, if Jesus' healing practice was based on understandable laws of God, that those same laws would be in effect today, just as they were thousands of years ago, and that we could understand those laws or that science of Christianity and put it into practice, that spiritual healing wasn't meant for the distant past. And so, you know, this is what she based her, you know, her life work on, was helping to share that science of Christianity with the world, first proving it out in her own practice as a healer in the 19th century, but also establishing it, you know, on a groundwork that, you know, would last into the future centuries. And that's why she, you know, she became a religious founder, was because she found that the churches of the time were totally closed to the idea, these ideas coming from a woman, number one. And number two, that they actually went against the teachings of the church at the time. People didn't think that spiritual healing was supposed to be practiced today, that that was what they called a special dispensation meant only for original Christianity and the early disciples, but not for today.
I always and thought she, that was weird, as you know, if so God knew how to do it then, but then forgot.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you look back at the record of early Christianity, there's no doubt that a big part of the reason that it got off the ground in a very harsh political and religious climate was because what those early students of Christianity were sharing with others had a transforming effect on their lives. It actually healed them and changed them. I remember talking with a Jewish historian and a wonderful guide on a trip to the Holy Land several years ago, and I asked him at one point, you know, whether he believed that this record of healing was true that you read about in the New Testament, and he said, without missing a beat, he said, absolutely. And I said, why? I mean, you're a devout Jew, you're a historian, how can you believe this stuff? And he said, well, there's no other explanation for how a tiny, tiny religious movement would have gotten off the ground, you know, in, you know, under Roman rule and under the, you know, the thumb of the Jewish teachings of the time, except for the fact that what they were teaching and sharing with others transformed lives. That's how it got off the ground. And I think it's that transformative element of Christianity, that healing element of Christianity, that's just waiting to bring revitalization to Christian teaching today. And, you know, Christian Science has, I believe, really helped to just expand the sense of possibility that humanity has today in terms of spiritual healing.
Now, one of the phrases I like to bring out about the concept of the word healing is that we get awfully used to healing in a notion of, like, today I've got a cold, and then when I get over the cold, I will have healed from the cold, or today I've got a cut, and when I get over the cut, I will have healed from the cut. But I'm pretty clear that healing is not a word that should be reserved for physical disease. And I've heard you say things along that line, Chet, but could you bring that forward? What else can be, I mean, your back got better, but what else have you seen heal for people in using a practitioner or even just in their own study?
Well, thanks for bringing up that broader sense. Actually, it's so important that you mentioned that. And this whole area is one that sometimes can be kind of a misconception that, you know, Christian Science just focuses on healing the body. And that's its primary focus. Actually, when I look back at that healing of my back, what was healed was a very limited view of God and of myself. I mean, that's what was being healed, was this very flat earth view of things that I had at the time. You know, this notion that my life and health were just completely the result of physical causes and effects within the body. And so the healing was this greater sense, this expansive sense of wholeness, that I was the reflection, the image and likeness, that whole sense of being that comes from God. That, you know, that's a beautiful teaching woven throughout the Bible, that we reflect the divine nature. Jesus taught, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And, you know, heal comes from the root whole. So when we think about, you know, any aspect of your life or my life or listeners' lives, that, you know, what are you praying about where you're not feeling whole? You know, is it your, you know, maybe a really lousy job, a sense of just, you know, gutting it out and work and toil day after day, but not feeling content or satisfied, or that you're really reaching your potential? Well, that's a, you know, that's a lack of wholeness, you know, that's lack of a sense of, you know, that it's your right in life to know what your highest gifts are. We know God has given you gifts and talents that must be expressed. I found that, gosh, so many times when I'm praying with people about things, that it's one of the issues we inevitably will talk and pray about is this lack of true purposeful living or purposeful work. And if we're not feeling a sense of purpose in our lives, well, you know, sometimes the body will reflect that in purposeless activity. You know, cells and things just doing things that are completely purposeless. Like, I lost my sense of purpose. You know, the body's just reflecting that. And so if we can feel a deeper sense of specific purpose in our lives, that everything that God does and creates is purposeful, and you're not an exception to that. You have gifts and talents and abilities and perceptions that are needed, you know, to make this world a beautiful and better place. And so, you know, there's one area, Scout, is that whole area of life purpose and work and jobs and so forth. Mm-hmm. Relationships is another big one. When you talk about healing, how many times are we, you know, holding on to a resentment or an anger, a frustration, a feeling that we just can't get along with somebody else or they can't get along with us? That needs to be healed. You know, we've got to begin to change our perception of this individual that we're having a hard time getting along with, and to also know that we, you know, can be seen in the right light. People can't hold on to a misconception of us. So those are a few areas. I mean, everything in our lives we can pray about. Everything should, you know, reflect a wholeness, a greater sense of wholeness and harmony.
So we've used this word a lot, and I like to explore it and learn about it. Growing up in my Protestant church, you know, I had a picture of prayer, which was a rote recitation, as a kid anyway, a rote recitation of a preset form of words, starting from "Now I lay me" and working my way up to "Our Father." But that word prayer, I'm pretty clear you're not saying that you called this practitioner and they said, "Now I lay me to your back" a couple times and it got mm-hmm. better. Tell me about that word prayer, Chet. What does that word mean when you do it, and how do you know when you hit it?
Sure. Yeah, good question. Well, I think it's the importance of this word and concept for all of us is, it was so important to Mary Baker Eddy that she, you know, the very first chapter of her book, Science and Health, is prayer. And so if anybody listening is interested in gaining a, you know, a deeper understanding of prayer, this chapter would be a wonderful one to open to. But there's a little phrase in here that I think she's revolutionizing the humanity's concept of prayer here. And she writes that prayer cannot change the science of being or the divine order of things, but it tends to bring us into harmony with it.
Ah.
So that's, to me, it's significant. You know, Jesus taught that, that you're not heard for your much speaking. He says when you pray, don't think that, you know, God is hearing all these different words, because your Father knows what things you need before you ask Him. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if God is infinite intelligence, divine, the all-knowing divine mind, then there's nothing that we need to inform God about. I mean, God knows us intimately. And so the traditional sense of prayer, which is asking God for something or informing God about something that He's forgotten to do, kind of humanizes God. You know, this sense of somebody that's just maybe been out golfing or, you know, lost track of you, and you've got to make sure that you've, you know, you're known. But more to see that prayer is bringing our thought and our lives into harmony with what God already knows about us. In other words, your wholeness, your perfection, your goodness, your innocence, that this is all your Creator can possibly know about you, is what that good and loving Creator has already created. This was the standpoint, Mary Baker Eddy believed, this was the standpoint by which Jesus healed, always working out from the sense of wholeness, never working up to God, but working out from that sense of what this perfect Creator had already conceived and was maintaining in each of us, and that is our wholeness. So, yeah, prayer in Christian Science is more about affirmation, affirming the truth, the deep truths about God, the nature of God, and our own nature as God's expression, than it is about asking. Sometimes when you pray, you know, being childlike and the prayer of petition, which is asking, it's not to say that that's never helpful. I mean, if you're on your knees and you're really reaching out to God, that does bring you in tune. It does help you express a greater receptivity to the ideas that are coming from divine mind. But we do have to realize in the end that, you know, God has already met the need. God has already answered your prayer even before you pray it, because that's the nature of your Father, Mother, God, is to know you and love you and maintain you in your health and your wholeness. That's what God does. So it's more about our shift in perspective rather than trying to shift God's perspective toward us.
Yeah, I caught a bumper sticker at one point that said, if you suddenly find God feeling distant, who do you think moved?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. That's a good one.
So, Chet, if I were to imagine, and I'm not trying to put this on you, but perhaps you live a completely spiritual life and your mind never wanders, but if I were to imagine that you found yourself in a circumstance where your circumstances, whether physical, mental, emotional, were reflecting that you were out of sync and not fully in a state of healed, how would you go after finding how to find your prayer to get yourself back when you're busy running along a different track? If that question even made sense.
You know, I appreciate the way you put things, and just such matter of fact, and gosh, listeners listening, and you do feel out of sync or out of tune. You know, here's some simple things that have been helpful to me. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the letter of study and you know, reading the Bible or prayer and saying lots of words that we forget the spirit. You know, the spirit of those prayers, the spirit of those ideas. And one of the things I found helpful, especially in the last year or two, is to sing more. You know, when you talk about bringing our lives and our thoughts into harmony with God, I actually have been finding myself singing more and singing spiritual songs, you know, singing hymns. There's a lot within the Christian Science tradition that, you know, just brings real insight and inspiration to singing. In fact, there's a new hymnal that's just coming out from the Publishing Society in Boston that includes over 100 new hymns and spiritual songs. And I have found that when I sing more, just get a spiritual melody in my thought in the morning, that it can bring me into harmony with God and can kind of lift me above the complaint or the pain or the anger that I may be feeling. Sometimes the hardest thing for you to do is actually sing. But it's one of the most important things to do is to step away from, this kind of obligatory sense you feel toward prayer or toward your spiritual practice and do a little singing. That's one thing that comes to mind, Scott. Mm-hmm. I start my days with, and I do think like first thing in the morning, before the mind just gets buzzing and busy. I understand that we're thinking like 15 or 20,000 thoughts a day. That's mm-hmm. what scientists say. And some, I guess, is more than that. But I think the more remarkable statistic, at least from, those that I've heard, is that 80% of the thoughts we think each day are the same. So we're basically going over the same mental ground day after day after day. And that's a little bit like being on a treadmill, and you feel like you're moving, but you're basically standing in place. And so to get thought really moving, to get off the treadmill and to be moving, to a higher perspective, moving on a beautiful mountain trail up a mountain, I do think we need to ponder and reflect on big spiritual ideas. To be willing to look at life and health from a higher perspective. And one of the ways I do that is I subscribe to the Christian Science Bible Lesson, which brings this fresh inspiration into my home every single morning. There's always a different theme that's being explored, each week. And I find that if I begin my day by taking a walk up the mountain with some of these ideas from the Bible and from Mary Baker Eddy's writings, that it's just giving me a vista, a higher point of view from which to begin the day. And then I'm not, so repetitive in my thought. If I'm, let's say grumbling about something or, rehearsing something over and over again, I begin to have some ideas that allow me to challenge that hurt or that resentment and to think differently about it. Yeah.
So there's an interesting phrase here, and I find we're devil's advocating a bit today. Because there's a picture that goes with the phrase Bible thumper. And that picture could get triggered mm-hmm. for people mm-hmm. that only have that association to Bible, and they're not thinking of it as a sure. current, vital, alive, metaphysical textbook.
Yep. Good point. Here's what I think. When you look at the scriptures and you read it literally, it is a scary book. Yeah. I think it's one of the big challenges we have in religion today. Across the faiths. Islamic fundamentalism, is scary. If you're going to take scripture and apply them several hundred years later in a literal way and not allow for the evolving and progressive understanding of God that comes, with time and with prayer and with reflection. So, you can read things in the Old Testament of the Bible and say, thank God that we don't believe that anymore, uh-huh. that somebody should be stoned, because they stepped out of line on this or that, minute little point.
That was part of the radicalism of the Jesus yeah. and Christ teachings in the time.
Yes, it was. He was lifting thought above the literal. And above the letter of the law. He said, I'm not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. But he was bringing out the fulfillment of the law was the understanding of God as love. That if you love God with all your heart and soul and mind and love your neighbor as yourself, you've done everything that the law and the prophets teach. Just those two things. So he's bringing out that love is the essential nature of the divine and boiling it down to those simple instructions. I think if you Mary Baker Eddy believed that the inspired word of the Bible was a sufficient guide to eternal life, is the way she put it, that it's the inspired word, not the literal word, that let's dig into this book and find those spiritual principles, those ideas that are teaching us more about God as love, bringing out a more spiritual view of our neighbor and of ourselves and of the universe. And you know, I do believe that we can actually see the Bible as this adventure, this spiritual adventure in humanity's growing concept of God. But we can't hold the things that are outworn. You know, we've got to realize that some of those, you know, early perspectives that were put forward, well, we moved past them, and with the life and teachings, especially on love, that Jesus brought forward, that clarified for humanity really what the nature of God was all about.
This has been such an absolute pleasure. The worst part of this show every time is when it's like, oh, darn, I want to talk to him for another hour or two. Chet, I have so appreciated this. Thank you.
And well, thank you, Scott. Yes. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, because I just love how real you are and how honest and, you know, just always digging deeper. Thank you.
Yeah, you don't get by with the easy questions.
No, I know. It's good. It's good. I think we need to be vigorous. Everybody needs to be more vigorous in their own, you know, their own exploration, their own spiritual exploration.
Perfect. And this has been Chet Manchester. If you Google Chet Manchester CS, you'll find all kinds of goodies with recordings of his talks. Those in the Bay Area, will play that spot on the show here again so that you can catch that he'll be here Tuesday the 30th up at the Tiburon Town Hall, which is on Tiburon Boulevard in, of course, Tiburon, sponsored by the Church First Church Belvedere. I want to, again, thank the First Church Christ Science Mill Valley for letting us have this conversation. And then for every single one of you out there, my name is Scout, like Pathfinder, Bartlett, like Pears, and I have two favors to ask you. One, treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly are. And then notice, no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.
For many, coping with disease instead of curing it is the norm. Infinite Possibilities for Healing is the title of a free talk given by Chet Manchester, a practitioner of Christian Science Healing. Today, Chet is pain-free and credits Christian Science for healing him of chronic back pain, giving him consistent good health and a deeper understanding of God. Chet will present this free community talk at Tiburon Town Hall, 1505 Tiburon Boulevard in Tiburon, on Tuesday, May 30th at 7:30 p.m. Visit ChristianScienceBelvedere.com or call 415-927-4634.